This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, welcome on in to the Monday edition of Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show, SiriusXM Channel 189, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. A bit of a delay in the college football on a Monday night. Don't worry, here on Labor Day, we will labor into the night, taking you through the action. As right now, you have a 17-10 lead for SMU on the road in Tallahassee, Florida. Now, why are we just at halftime? In case you were just tuning in, we had a delay. It was not lightning. It was not weather. It was power. Power outage because Florida State apparently tried to reset the power before the game. It blew a transformer. This game was delayed, originally supposed to go off at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, all the way until 9:15 on the East Coast. And then when they began play, there was no helmet-to-helmet communication. There were no iPads on the sidelines. There was no coordinator comms. There was no PA. The clock was being kept on the field. We had no idea what was happening in this game. The clock on the screen on the ACC ESPN broadcast was kind of a guesstimate roughly where we were. But eventually they got a bunch of these things back as the half went on. And as the half went on, it remained a pretty competitive game. So here's how we began in the first half. As we closed in this one, SMU minus 3, a total of 55. Your current number, SMU leading by 7 on the road. They're laying 7.5. 54.5 is the total. We are right back to where we started essentially here. Just a tick off on the total. Now the side is a discrepancy. 7.5 up from 3. But I got to tell you, Florida State, outside of a couple mistakes here, a turnover on downs that set up a short drive for SMU, some issues with them, they've actually been fairly competitive. SMU has looked better, but Florida State has been in this a little bit more than I anticipated at times. So how the first half went, SMU fumbled on the opening drive. Florida State got the ball back, but had to settle for a punt. Missed opportunity. SMU made them play, made them pay. Six plays, 75 yards. Jalen Cooper with a touchdown. He was plus 205 anytime touchdown for the Mustangs. FSU responded right away, though. 13 plays, 75-yard touchdown drive. Ashton Daniels, the transfer quarterback from Auburn and Stanford. He's plus $1.20, gets home anytime touchdown. That evened things up. We go to the second quarter. SMU missed a 38-yard field goal. Then Florida State had a turnover on downs. SMU then took advantage of an opportunity. They go 8 plays, 43 yards, short field to make it 14-7. Pittman plus 260 cashes as an anytime touchdown there. Ensuing drive for Florida State, they kick a 46-yard field goal to make it 14-10. It was set up by the running back, Croma, with a big 54-yard run. He was ruled to go out of bounds, a little bit shorter than we anticipated on the broadcast. SMU then rebutted with a field goal of their own at the 149 mark. That made it 17-10. We went to the locker room 17-10, and now we are out for the second half. Florida State has the ball. They are catching 7.5. 54.5 is your total. I would consider a play on the second half over. As if you look at what went down yesterday in those primetime three games, we had Washington and Wazoo, more points in the second half than first half. Louisville and Ole Miss, way more points in the second half than first half. Same goes for Notre Dame over Wisconsin, more points in the second half than the first half. Right now, I'm just sitting on my position. I have the money line minus 140 on SMU, who were a very trendy road favorite, which is always a dangerous proposition. Now, the sharp thing would probably to come back and take Florida State at home, getting more than a touchdown right now as they are driving right around midfield. I'm going to sit on SMU. I still think they're the better team. I think they're the right side. And with comms coming back here, it's a huge boost to SMU big picture. With the inability to talk to your quarterback before every play, I thought that really benefited Florida State in the first half. Their defense would get loud. Their defense could throw off the SMU offense, figuring out how to get on the same page. I thought it benefited Florida State to have the home field quiet at times for them when they were on the offensive side of things. So because of that, now that we're back to both teams being able to communicate, I'm just going to stand pat. I'm going to ride on SMU because every time Kevin Jennings has needed to step up for the Mustangs, he has. He's very good off script. He's not really a guy who runs the football a lot. I wouldn't call him a mobile quarterback, but when he needs to be, he is a willing runner and he is a good runner. Thus far in the game, Kevin Jennings, 14 and 19, 224 and 2 touchdowns in the contest. And for him on the game in terms of props, his yardage prop was set at 280. And he is right now at 224. Very good chance to get over that number. He was at 2+ touchdowns through the air. That was minus 180. That is already cashed if you bet it. He's also run for 27 yards on the ground. Has won Kevin Jennings for SMU. Their leading receiver in the game, Jalen Hale, 2 catches for 70 yards. That puts him over. You know what? He even had player props up for Jalen Hale. Jalen Cooper's the one I'm thinking of. 3 for 63 for him. His prop was set at 40 and a half. So obviously he clears that pretty easily. And he has the touchdown. Randy Pittman, 3 catches, 59 yards. I'm actually surprised Yannick Smith, the transfer from ECU, his number was set at 60 plus, and he only has 8 receiving yards in the game thus far. On the other side, as Florida State faces a 3rd and 7 here, Ashton Daniels looking to pick up a first down, and he's going to get sacked. He's going to go down, and he's 9 of 14 through the air for 61 yards. He does have 25 yards rushing and the touchdown that we spoke of earlier. Usmane Cromaw, the running back, he has 75 yards on 10 carries, thanks to that long yard of 54 to set up the field goal. Deuce Robinson, their superstar wide receiver on the outside, 2 for 26 through the air. And that is it in terms of the numbers that pop off the screen for Florida State. They're not doing much offensively, which is why I did not ultimately come back in them on +7.5. Now at 9.5, you're starting to speak my language as this thing gets bigger and bigger. And it's 10.5 as I say that. And SMU's laying it, even money. Minus 130 with the Noles at home. 52.5 is the total. I'm leaving it alone for now, but if this number continues to balloon up, I will consider coming back on Florida State with my position at minus 140 on SMU. But if you were listening to Matt Youmans and Will Hill prior to this show on VSiN Primetime, you heard them reel off everyone on the VSiN Picks page who's on SMU tonight. They're on the road, people laying 2.5, people laying 3. I almost did that. I went money line just to be safe. It's a standalone game. Things can get wonky here. I didn't want to get beat by that. And I thought minus 140 was super palatable on a money line where I just think one team is significantly better. So let's throw the spread away. Let's just play to win. And we took Kevin Jennings and company on the road. As they begin their first drive of the second half, they get a big run to the right side. And that's going to be a first down and more. This Cal transfer, Kendrick Raphael, prior to that run, 6 for 40 for him on the game. And coming into this season, he is a senior who last year at Cal ran for 943 yards, spent 2 seasons before that at NC State. He is a nice little runner for Rhett Lashley to mess around with in that backfield. He's up to 7 carries, 63 yards. Here's a little trickery. End around, flea flicker. Jennings throws it back to, I guess that's Raphael, on a screen, and they pick up a first down. SMU's not messing around. And this is what good teams and good coaches do. When you have a chance to snap the neck of an opponent, you take advantage. FSU has failed to convert on a couple of opportunities. Really an uninspiring drive to open the second half here. A good team like SMU, they capitalize. And currently, they're working in Florida State territory. Down at the 27-yard line, they just missed a screen to the outside to a receiver for a minimal loss. That brings up a 2nd and 10 coming up for SMU. But getting points here is paramount, because the more and more you stretch away from Florida State, the more they play on their heels, trying to play from behind, and they're really not built to do so. Mike Norvell is on the hot seat. That's why in the portal, they didn't get some of the superstar names you'd anticipate them being involved with. On top of that, I know he has a huge buyout. I don't believe this booster base wants Mike Norvell to be the head coach of this program going forward. They would prefer fire him, then open up the wallets. Whoever comes in after him, they'll get almost an unlimited budget to get Florida State back to respectability. But at this point in time, when you look at what Mike Norvell's done, he's been a failure as a leader, because this program was this close to getting into the college football playoff back in 2023. But unfortunately, they left Jordan Travis in a game, their quarterback at the time, that did not matter. He got injured. And because he was not going to be available for the playoff, despite winning the ACC, they were a team that did not make the college football playoff. And I understand why. Unfortunately, those are the breaks, baby, in a 4-team playoff, is that they were held out because at that point in time, you couldn't project them to be one of the best teams in college football. Since that moment, this entire program has collapsed. 7-18 straight up since missing the playoff. That's because Mike Norvell continued to complain and cry and mope around about that, and this entire Florida State program has unraveled since then. That's failure at the top. That is leadership. He's going to get a great buyout. He's going to be able to buy his wife a sweet house and have generational wealth for the Norvell family going forward. But Florida State as a team, as a once national power, they're going to need someone else to get them there. And I think the fan base and the booster base is actually hoping Mike Norvell loses this game tonight to SMU and more down the road so they can finally move on from this nightmare. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll be with you all night long right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got a fun one to discuss. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Chris Vanini joins us, the Athletic senior college football writer. What was weirder, the start tonight in SMU Florida State or the ending in Western Michigan and Michigan over the weekend? Jeff Erickson from RotoWire joins us with his best bets NFL Week 1. Richie Incognito, 14-year NFL vet, checks in from Australia to preview the matchup between the Rams and the Niners. Eric Lindquist checks in with his favorite plays in baseball, NFL, and more. Plus, we'll take you through the end of the second half here. I'll explain why Dabo Swinney is the BlackBerry of college football coaches. The 49ers have touched down in the land down under. What's Kyle Shanahan have to say? Plus, coach of the year long shots in the National Football League. But when we return, we still have 11:40 to go in the third quarter in Tallahassee, Florida. We guide you through the end of this week one ACC tilt. SMU leads Florida State 17-10 right here on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, maybe Florida State with a glimmer of hope here. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're listening to VSiN, the sports betting network. As we return from break, a red zone interception by Kevin Jennings into the end zone. Florida State gets the ball. Now an opportunity in a one-score game. 17-10. SMU leads on the road. Huge step up by the Florida State defense. They will begin this drive, though, from their own three-yard line. Let's see what they do. I imagine they keep this very conservative. This is a great effort and a run here by Usmane Kroma on the ground. He just fought for about 7-8 yards while being held up by several players here. Sophomore out of Leesburg, Georgia, just up the road in South Georgia. And Kroma has been featured in this offense thus far, looking like the number one back. Actually, we have not seen Wisner at all run the football for Florida State, which does surprise me here. Ashton Daniels, the quarterback, 61 yards through the air. It's going to be the ground game that gets them there. That's why I don't hate the idea. Ooh, the under's adjusted to 47.5. It was still in the 50s. I'd consider an under. I originally was going to bet the under, but I ultimately decided on SMU because I just think they're the better team here. However, two big mistakes. Neither have led to points yet, but they had the fumble on the opening drive. They have now this drive where they had a chance to score. All of a sudden, this could be a massive swing in the way this game is going to be played out the rest of the way, because they were about to go up. If they scored a touchdown, two touchdowns. If not, settle for a field goal. You're still up by 10 points here, and Florida State hasn't proven they can throw on you. Now they'd have to do that from behind. This is still a spot with it just being a seven-point game. Florida State can still remain balanced offensively, which they desperately need to do with a quarterback like Ashton Daniels. And they're going to run it on first and 10 after picking up a first down, and Usmane gets another 4 or 5 yards on the ground. Second down coming up at the 8-minute mark as SMU is up 17-10. The spread, for some reason, is off the board here. I'm not really sure what's going on. And by the way, we should note, how about the ACC figuring out a way for us to see the clock and syncing up the clock with the broadcast despite the power issues? And we're supposed to believe everything that went down with the Big Ten over the weekend. More on that a little bit later on in the show. Spread finally back available. SMU's laying 7.5. 47.5 is the total in this contest. We do have live baseball going on as well that I should update you on, because we are sweating out a play on Dylan Cease over 7.5 strikeouts. So far, the A's have gotten to Cease 4-1, the A's with the lead in Sacramento, fourth inning. Cease does have five strikeouts. He's at 72 pitches, though. We really need him to reach back and get a couple here and hopefully stay in for another inning. But he was pacing okay until we just got to this point where he's now up to 72 pitches in the fourth inning. A's with the lead there. Back to Tallahassee, third and five. Ashton Daniels, pass batted down at the line of scrimmage. That will lead to a fourth and five and a punt coming from Florida State. So with this move now, SMU is up to a 9.5-point favorite. 47.5 is your in-game total, waiting for the punt from Florida State. Over at Dodger Stadium, the Reds struck first. Elly De La Cruz with his 24th home run of the season. However, the Dodgers have responded. They've gotten a home run from Teoscar Hernandez in this one, and they now lead 5-2 in the eighth inning. Cincinnati, though, top of the eighth, one out. They have runners on first and third with a chance to do a little bit of damage, as I do believe I just saw Sal Stewart, your big favorite for NL Rookie of the Year, striking out with a runner on third for him to drive in and a runner at first as well. That could be a mistake there from SMU. Did that return man touch the football? He touched the football. SMU is a mess. My goodness, what are you doing? Bouncing punt, and the return man sees two Seminoles running right at him for some reason unknown to anyone else on planet Earth. He tries to catch the ball and corral it, and he fumbles it. Florida State has two guys right there to recover it. What was he thinking? I don't even know if that was an intentional wobbly punt. Maybe it was, but it's bouncing. Why are you fielding that? Did it actually hit his foot? Did he get it on the second effort? That's the question. I want to figure out. SMU didn't look like they were trying really hard to get it. This is, you know what this is? This is bad fundamentals. A lot of people were high on SMU to be the team to meet Miami in the ACC title game coming into the year. But I don't know, man. This is pretty sloppy. I don't care about the issues that are like outside of the football field with the power and the communication. The mistakes they're making have nothing to do with that. Fumble on the opening drive, interception in the red zone, and a special teams mistake where nobody's even arguing. So it definitely was a fumble because bouncing punt, and this guy just tries to corral it. What are you doing? You're a middle infielder trying to field the thing off a hop? Like, just let it roll. You're up by seven. Florida State just flipped the field. Where are they at right now? That's what I need to figure out. Florida State takes over at the 29-yard line, and they just ran it for 6 yards. They have a chance. If they pick up a first down, they're going to be in the red zone, and they're going to lean on the running back, and he's going to get stuffed for a loss. That is Usman Kromah, who's up to 99 yards rushing, though. Six-minute mark of the third quarter. We are looking at SMU down to a 6.5-point favorite. 49.5 is your in-game total. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're listening to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back to Major League Baseball here real quickly. The Reds still trail, but they are at the plate. Runners on second and third, one out. Dodgers up 5-2. Dodgers a -516 favorite, +358 with Cincinnati here in this spot. Ashton Daniels on third and six looks to run. He gets hit, and he gets hit a couple times here. He is short of the sticks. If you're Mike Norvell, what do you do here? Because we're looking at, what, the 24-yard line? And I'd go for it on fourth down. You have a mobile quarterback. Put him on the move. And then he's not. He's going to kick the field goal on fourth and three. This is what happens when you're coaching for your job, people. It's almost like the thought, even if he's not directly thinking of it subconsciously, well, let's make this respectable. If I can make it 17-13, it's a 4-point game. But, dude, you start doing the math on this, and your defense has stepped up when it mattered here. You can lean on them a little bit. You start doing the math, man, you're going to have to score touchdowns at some point because SMU's offense is moving the football. They just made a mistake last time. Field goal's up, and it's good. It's now a 17-13 game. That was a 40-yard attempt, and there's a flag on the play. Flag on the play. They're showing Rhett Lashley on the broadcast, and they're showing an SMU player. That's not good. Offsides on SMU. Oh, man. SMU's on discipline, man. That's a first down now for Florida State. How do you line up off special teams? A disaster on this one in the last 2 minutes of this game. You have a botch of a punt that you have no business fielding. Now you're gifting them a first down with an offsides on the field goal attempt? Dude, this team stinks. I don't want to hear about the SMU hype. Kevin Jennings has had his own issues today. He's made a couple brilliant plays, but that red zone interception was absolutely disgusting. Ashton Daniels and company better make them pay here. You have to get seven. They're giving you so many opportunities to even this thing up. They're going to keep it on the ground, and that is a great run. And now Usmane Kroma has cleared 100 yards rushing, I believe, with that carry, as that sets up a second down scenario of 3 yards to go before we move the sticks. 4:30 to go. See, this clock keeps ticking. Total is up to 50 and a half. I don't hate the idea of an under, because you think about if they hold off Florida State from scoring as they get closer to the end. See, now they're right on the edge of the end zone. They're at the 10-yard line. We're almost in a goal line situation once they pick up a first down. I would lean under right now and assume they're going to go for it and not get it because I don't trust them. End around attempt by Florida State, and they do not convert. It'll bring up a third down with 4:04 to go. I kind of like the in-game under. We're at 27 right now. It's at 48 and a half. The only reason I'm hesitating is yesterday we had a flurry of points in the fourth quarter in a couple of those games, right? We had the second half where Notre Dame took off. We had Wazoo and Washington State both do a ton of scoring in the fourth quarter. And then obviously Ole Miss and Louisville became a complete shootout in the fourth quarter. So I'm a little hesitant with that trend there, but third and five coming for Florida State, they run it. And I understand what they're doing here. I believe that's Wisner in the Texas transfer. He picks up about half the distance. Now it's going to be, I think, about fourth and three coming up for Florida State, down by seven. They have to go for it here, and they need seven badly. SMU leads by seven, 17-0. Let's see what the play call is from Mike Norvell and company. As that seat he's on, it is hot. It is very, very hot. It's burning his cheeks right now. That's how hot it is. Crucial fourth and two. What's Florida State going to do? You got to put Daniels on the move. You can't just run it up the gut. I don't care how good the run game has looked tonight. You have to use the legs of your quarterback, and we have a timeout coming, and I believe that's Florida State. That is, maybe they were trying to draw them off sides, and they're going to settle for the field goal. We'll tell you in just a minute. The wait's finally over. College football's back. The NFL season kicks off this week, just a couple days away. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide. It has post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies if you're playing Survivor, and fresh best bets from everyone here at the network. Plus, you'll also get the college football betting guide, previews of all 138 FBS teams, plus everything we do at the website. Best bets, betting splits, prop tools, and more. Get started $9.99. Save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're all tied up in Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. While we were at break, Florida State went for it on fourth down, converted through the air, and just ran in a touchdown. It is 17 all, and we're near back where we started. SMU laying 3.5. They'll get the ball back with a chance to respond. Total is 51 and a hook. We'll take you through the end of the third quarter, all the fourth quarter later on in the program. But to help us recap a wild week one in college football, we're going out to the Progressive guest line, welcoming in one of the best writers in the business, Chris Vanini. Join us, The Athletic, senior college football writer at Chris Vanini. You can find him on X, and he joins us here on the Progressive guest line. So, Chris, I'll let you choose your own adventure here for the first answer. You can start with which one of these was weirder, the start to Florida State SMU or the ending of Michigan, Western Michigan. The choice is yours, my friend.
Well, let's just go with the game that's going on right now. SMU, Florida State, the power outage that delayed it for almost 2 hours. I've never seen something like that happen for that long. Like, I've seen hurricanes postpone games and heat stuff, but the power's out. It's not even out like everywhere. It's just here. And they start the game with no clock, no scoreboard, no helmet communication, like no nothing, no music, no PA. That was bizarre. It's mostly all back now, it looks like. Some of it's not quite there, but it's mostly back to a normal game now. But that was an unusual thing to start off. The game has been just as weird as that delay was too.
It's crazy. I was actually driving into the studio while all this was going down and they were about to start the game. And I was thinking, you can't play this game if there's no comms. There's so much on the line here. SMU is a potential playoff team if they can win the ACC. Mike Norvell's coaching for his job, but they figured it out. And I think because it's an ACC game and the schedule is so difficult to handle, if we had to move this, they just forced this game in. Thus far, your thoughts of what's been a weird one, as you mentioned, Florida State just ties it up. Ashton Daniels making his debut with the Noles. On the other side, SMU's had a couple of opportunities to pull away, but keep shooting themselves in the foot. What have you made of the game?
Well, SMU looks like the much better team, and that 3-point spread coming in felt a little surprising, but I guess Vegas just knew that SMU was going to have 3 turnovers, a muffed punt, jumping off sides on a 4th down field goal, missing a field goal, throwing an interception in the end zone. They just knew that stuff was going to happen, apparently, because SMU has been going down the field every single time they have the ball. They just can't finish these drives, and it's maddening, and they've let Florida State hang around and make a game of this. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I can't wait to see how it finishes, but that's why I didn't go with the point spread. I went money line with SMU. I wasn't messing around there. Now, there's a lot of bettors out there upset that had some money lines on Western Michigan, thinking that they won over the weekend. Ultimately, the Wolverines get a second crack at a Hail Mary. They wind up with a win, not without controversy. We get the extra time on the clock because the Big Ten says their clock doesn't match the game clock on the TV. I've never seen or heard that before, but it did happen. What was your takeaway of what went down over the weekend with that at the Big House?
I think the Big Ten ultimately handled things the way it is supposed to. It has just done an absolutely terrible job of explaining that. And it took them 2 hours for them to come out with an explanation of the finish. And good on them for giving us the video of the replay conversation with the clock, with the camera on the clock as it was going on. The problem is nobody has yet explained why that is different between the embedded clock that NBC had. Both of them, what you saw in that Big Ten replay thing and what you saw in the NBC broadcast, they're both just cameras of the scoreboard clock. That is supposed to be the official clock. Now, Western Michigan's president said on Sunday that it was explained to him by Tony Petitti that there's a lag, basically, when you kind of overlay those a little bit. So the broadcast one was a little bit ahead. There's some clips going around of what it was like in the stadium, and it looks like he did touch it before it hit zeros, but nobody from the Big Ten or NBC is actually explaining how that works. And that is just fueling all these extra conspiracies and leaving the vacuum open to make people feel however they want. And I've talked to other officials who are frustrated by that and feel like that the Big Ten is letting this happen.
Yeah, and you have to wonder for, let's say, playoff purposes. Michigan gets this win. What if Western Michigan wins the MAC this year, trying to get that group of 6 bid? I mean, that would have been a nice feather in the cap for the Broncos in this spot. Unfortunately, they walk away with a loss. Chris Vanini is our guest, senior college football writer at The Athletic. The big one in Death Valley over the weekend, as Dabo Swinney, it feels like the run may be over. 51-10, Lane Kiffin and the transfers just beat down of Clemson. How do you feel about the way this thing is ending for Dabo Swinney right now?
I think this game kind of summed it all up, because both of these teams went 7-6 last year. So they head into the offseason kind of on equal footing. Where are they one game into the next season? About 500 yards apart. Lane Kiffin went out and got talent and brought it to LSU. Dabo Swinney lost 9 players to the NFL draft. Didn't really replace them with adequate talent. And this is the result. It's not a serious way to run a program if you want to contend nationally anymore. If you want to contend for ACC championships and stuff, sure. But look what Miami did, went out and took the Duke quarterback from the same conference, and they look incredible one game into the season. That is how you have to win in college football today, and Dabo Swinney just does not want to do that. And that's his prerogative. But now Clemson's got a coach with a $50, $60 million buyout that it needs to figure out, is this just what we're going to be for the next 3 to 5 years? or is something going to change? I don't know. Nothing's changed in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out, too, what we saw on the field was that more Clemson being bad or LSU being dominant. I think it's more on Clemson, but credit to LSU. They're 6-1 to win the SEC. Do you think that they could win that league when you've got Texas fully loaded, Georgia and Kirby Smart not needing to mess with the portal because they return so many guys they believe in? Do you think LSU is a threat to win the SEC?
I think they're a threat. I think we knew coming in that talent-wise, this looks like a top-five talent roster. Now, how is that all going to gel when you're on the road? When you're going to Ole Miss in a few weeks, how does everybody handle that? We'll see. Got a pretty tough schedule. Got a lot of difficult SEC games. Perhaps Clemson is terrible, and the win doesn't look as good as it does now, a few weeks from now. For now, it looks really good. Sam Levitt looks really good. The running game looks really good. The defense looks really fast. They look like a really, really good team. But it's also week one, so we'll see. But yes, do I think LSU is a threat? I do. I thought LSU was going to make the playoff this year. And one game into the season, I still feel that way.
I love it. Chris Vanini is our guest, senior college football writer at The Athletic. Update in Tallahassee. We've got SMU facing a 2nd and 10, still 50 seconds to go in the third quarter. Last one for you, Chris. I'm high on Oregon. They were my national title pick. A little discouraged to see what went down against Boise, just the way they were bullied at the line of scrimmage. They ultimately win, though, 34-27 over the Broncos. Where's your panic meter on the Ducks after one game?
I'm not sure, because there was some good and a lot of bad. Oregon still averaged like 8 yards per play or something like that. Boise didn't hit explosive plays. They got the kick catch interference miss that kind of led to one of the touchdowns. Boise State played a really good game for itself. Oregon played probably like a C game for itself. And it kind of won that game just because it has an incredible amount of talent on that team. But I think about 2 years ago, Oregon needed a kick return touchdown, a punt return touchdown, and a last second field goal to beat Boise State. And then they struggled with Idaho the next week. And then they went undefeated in the regular season and beat Ohio State and won the Big Ten. So, like, maybe Dan Lanning's teams just need a little kick to get off to a better start. So I'm not going to panic yet. Like, there was nothing on that team that was like red flag. I mean, the defensive line, we know it's a good defensive line. Didn't play great until the fourth quarter. Is that going to continue? We'll find out at the end of the month when they've got USC in a really big game. I had Boise State as a top 25 team coming into the season. It's a good team. It's a good program. There's a culture there. Guys know what they're doing. They historically have always played Oregon very well. So maybe Boise's just good and Oregon was a little bit off like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
we'll see.
That's totally fair. Totally fair. And Boise's favored to win the Pac-12 for a reason. They've had good success against the Ducks in the past. That all makes so much sense. Chris, we'll be reading theathletic.com. Also, the Bunch Formation podcast at Chris Vanini on X. Thanks for doing this tonight. Really appreciate the time, and we'll chat down the road.
Good to be here.
Great stuff from Chris Vanini there. And while we were talking, SMU was unable to convert on a 3rd and 10. Kevin Jennings on the run. All of a sudden, the turntables have turned. Florida State's about to get the ball back via the punt. The spread is down to SMU -1.5. Your in-game total, 50 and a hook. Final 38 seconds of the third quarter coming. We will sweat out the rest of this game when we return on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got a battle in Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Fourth quarter about to get underway. SMU and Florida State all tied up at 17. Now, that doesn't tell the story. This game has been weird. In case you're just tuning in and missed the start, well, you probably tuned in earlier and the game was delayed. Didn't know if it was going to get played. It was delayed from 7:30 p.m. Eastern to 9:15 because of a power outage. Florida State tried to reset the power. It blew a transformer. It took deep into the first half for us to get communications back. in the helmets of the players and the coaches. Seems like everything is back on track right now from what I can tell, but that impacted the start of the game. It also has led to SMU looking very clunky. I don't know if it's actually a direct correlation to any of these events, but SMU has outplayed Florida State, yet they keep burning themselves with mistakes. Early in the game, they turn over on the first drive for them offensively, give the ball back to Florida State as they were moving downfield. Then most recently, they threw an interception in the red zone, into the end zone, actually. Kevin Jennings was picked off. That would have made it a two-score game. If they convert there, they're either scoring a touchdown to make it a 14-point game or kicking a field goal to make it a 10-point game. Either way, it's a two-score game at that point. Instead, the thing completely flips. The game flips completely. You have an interception. Florida State comes back the other way. They're forced to punt. When they punt it back to SMU, it's a bouncer. And the return man decides to try to pick it up with two Florida State players converging on him. He muffs it. They recover Florida State. They ultimately, facing a fourth down situation, go for it and eventually score a touchdown on the following drive. Now Florida State has the football back after getting a punt from SMU to end the third quarter. We're tied up at 17s. Noles have a chance to take the lead on this very drive. 14:40 to go following a run up the middle for 4 yards. And it's SMU minus 1.5. 49.5 is the total. Moneyline's minus 130 right now on SMU. It keeps flipping. And Ashton Daniels, in his debut for the Seminoles, despite throwing for 63 yards, has a chance to give them the lead on this drive right now. He's under pressure, rolling to his right, using those legs to make something happen, and goes out of bounds for a gain of maybe a yard or two on the right side. Now it's third down. Huge one coming for Florida State. We're running out of time. We are running out of runway if you're the Noles here, because at some point, SMU's going to convert. SMU's got to stop making mistakes. You feel like they have to learn at some point. And coming into this third down, Florida State is 0-for-9 on third down. Can they get their first conversion on a 3rd-and-4, working from their own 46-yard line? They try a screen, and it's sniffed out immediately by the SMU defense. Incomplete pass. It's going to be a Florida State punt coming up here. We are still tied, and at 17-all, I would consider the under right now, 47.5. We're at 34. Are we getting 14 more points? I think we're getting 7. We could get 10. I don't know if Florida State's capable of scoring quickly. That's the thing. Unless they try some crazy trick play, there's some sort of wild outcome on a turnover, I don't think Florida State is capable of scoring quickly. So at 34 points scored, 17-17, 46.5, it just went down. See, at 46.5, I don't know if I'd do it, right? 34, that's 13 more points. We could get 13 more points. Well, 14 you need to go over there. So I'm going to stay away. I'm going to ride with the one that brought me. That's SMU Moneyline, minus 140. Now that they have the ball back in the fourth quarter, they're up to minus 180 on the money line. They're laying 2.5, and that's juiced at minus 160. So essentially, it's a minus 3. Like, I hate when they do that. They put the number at 2.5. It's really, if you want to, like, if you could somehow in-game, most shops don't let you buy the hook, but minus 160 is just ridiculous. Just make it minus 3 at that point. Like what are we doing? This is insane. And, I mean, what's crazy is, this game's kicking off, and we have the issues with all the power. First of all, I initially thought, I said, you can't play this game. But you start looking at how this impacts the rest of the season for other teams, not just these two, is one, it's an ACC game to open the season. Two, Florida State's off next week, but they have Alabama the week after that, and you know they don't want to give up any days of prep when they're taking on the Tide, trying to figure out what Keelan Russell did in his first start against East Carolina that looked so good. And then on the other side, SMU plays this weekend. They host UC Davis. That might be a drop down in competition, but SMU can't mess around right now. So they ultimately have to play this game. And what was shocking is the side didn't move. It sat at 3 the whole time. My first inclination was, you know, maybe this favors SMU more. You have a quarterback returning. He knows the system. He could be an extension of the coaching staff in the huddle, getting everyone situated with every play being called in. And then I started thinking, well, you could also make the case that Florida State has an advantage. They're at home. The crowd won't impact their offensive snaps as much as it will for SMU when Florida State's on defense. the total from what I could tell walking into Circa, because this all was going down as I was coming in from my house to do the show, I think I saw 50 and a half at close. I know what I have in my notes is 55, but I think it closed around 50 and a half from when I looked. But all the websites I'm looking at, I think, took the closing number from originally when the game was supposed to kick off here. Across the board, yeah, everyone's got a 53, 53 and a half. I'm seeing a 54 and a half. So I originally leaned under in this game. I talked about that last night on the show. But as I woke up today, I said, what are you doing? SMU's the better team. Take the better team. Take the better team that doesn't need it as much. Like, they need it. But, like, I think the pressure on Florida State with a roster that's not very good in transition with Mike Norvell terrified of losing his gig. Now, he's going to make $51 million in the buyout if he loses his gig. I'll tell you this right now. I might be office space in this thing if I'm Mike Norvell. I'm trying to get fired. I'm smashing copiers left and right. Like, I want that $51 million to just do nothing next season. Like, what are we even talking about here? But in the end, I took SMU, and I feel like I should be right. They have 408 total yards of offense to Florida State's 229. They're 6 of 11 on third down. Florida State's now 0 for 10 on third down in this game. Everything says that they've been the better team. Florida State's outrushing them by 35 yards in this game, but they've also run the ball 12 more times. SMU has 277 passing yards. Florida State has 220, has 63. They have 229 total yards of offense. SMU's thrown for more than that. SMU should be dominating this game, but five penalties for 39 yards. I failed previously to bring up. They had an offsides on a field goal attempt for Florida State and gave them a chance, which that led to that touchdown eventually. This has just been a masterclass of not being a disciplined football team. And if you were going to ask me in the ACC, who is the biggest challenger to take down Miami, who's going to meet them in the ACC title game, I'm not putting SMU in the mix right now. I don't like what I'm seeing here in a game that they should be pushing around Florida State. I'd go with Louisville. I'd go with Virginia. I might even go with Pitt and Mason Heinstuhl throwing 7 touchdowns over the weekend for the Pitt Panthers against Miami of Ohio. Kevin Jennings under duress. He hits a receiver on a slant for a first down, and more. He breaks a tackle. SMU is going to take the lead. That is a huge play. And that is a veteran quarterback stepping up when his team needs it the most. With a defender barreling down in his grill, Kevin Jennings just found the ECU transfer Yannick Smith for a 79-yard touchdown. That is a big play and a big moment. And Yannick Smith was plus 215 to score a touchdown tonight. And with that catch, he has gone over his receiving yard prop. Yannick Smith, his number was set at 40. And it was plus 112, 40 plus for the receiver transfer from ECU. And on that one play, he goes over. Prior to that, he was not going over that number. That is crazy. He has 95 on the day, along a 79 with the score. SMU out in front, 24-17, following the PAT. We look at that in-game number. SMU's laying 6.5. 53.5 is the total. The market seems to indicate that it believes Florida State can score on this drive and even score a touchdown. And I don't think that's likely. I think it's time for the SMU defense to step up, just like Kevin Jennings did. Sends a message to the team. It's critical juncture. I lean under 53.5. I lean SMU -6 and a hook. If you're serious about betting, you need Edge Boost, the financial platform built specifically for bettors. It's a Visa debit card with no usage fees. No more declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365, even on nights, weekends, and holidays. You can use it across all your favorite sports books, prediction markets, DFS platforms, and it's optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based, and online. Earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits and daily deposit limits up to $5 million per transaction. New users sign up with promo code VEASAN, make a minimum $100 deposit into your EdgeBoost account, and EdgeBoost will match your deposit up to $100. It is the smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head to edgeboost.io, use the promo code VEASAN to get started today. It's Cashing Out on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. When we return, Jeff Erickson joins the program. His best bets for week 1 in the National Football League are forthcoming on Cashing Out.